I'm Tom Scriber, an immunologist by training, and I lead the immunology activities at the South African TB Vaccine Initiative, University of Cape Town. My research focus is immunology of TB, which includes vaccine development for TB, understanding the immunopathogenesis of TB, and also some biomarker research around tuberculosis. So I wanted to start off by talking about difficulties in TB treatment, which really starts at the place where we have to identify and diagnose TB patients. Not all TB patients present with the same symptoms, and some people actually who have TB disease don't even have symptoms. On top of that, at the moment, TB diagnosis is reliant on getting a good sputum sample, which is also not always very easy to obtain. For these reasons, we don't manage to diagnose all TB patients. Some people don't even present to clinics where most of the diagnosis happens, and for that reason, many people are missed. In cases where we do diagnose TB cases or people with TB successfully, they have to receive, if they have drug-sensitive TB, then they have to take their treatment for 6 months at least. So this again presents a lot of issues because it's difficult to take drugs for 6 months, adherence becomes a problem, and then of course some individuals end up having drug-resistant TB, which takes much longer and is much more difficult to manage. In addition to this, many people who have TB, especially in places like South Africa, also have underlying HIV infection, and so the treatment strategies for HIV infection and TB have to be managed very carefully so that there are no drug interactions. And for example, some individuals who go on to antiretroviral therapy may actually have an inflammatory syndrome called IRIS, where the amount of antigen that's left over in the body when they have very high antigen load because of other infections such as TB may actually lead to some pathology which can in some cases be deadly. So it's clear that the best strategy to combat the TB epidemic would be to have a good vaccine that prevents people from getting TB in the first place. Now, we currently already have a TB vaccine. It's been around for almost 100 years now. It's called BCG. It's a whole microbe, which was, of course, originally isolated from bovine, from cows, hence BCG. And it is universally given in many countries around the globe, and it prevents severe forms of TB, such as disseminated TB or TB meningitis in young children. But unfortunately, it's not very efficacious at preventing pulmonary TB in adolescents and adults. And so, unfortunately, in most countries where BCG is universally provided, there's a very high incidence of TB and additional measures are needed. We don't understand exactly why BCG is not effective after childhood. There are many hypotheses out there around the waning of immunity. But in some studies that have been performed, there's been very good memory responses that last for decades. And so it's probably more likely that there are additional epidemiological or other reasons why BCG is not as effective as it should be. A common hypothesis that has quite a bit of evidence in support suggests that additional sensitization to microbes that are similar to TB, so-called environmental mycobacteria, may actually somehow affect the efficacy of the BCG vaccine, and therefore lead to decreased efficacy of the vaccination. This is then a massive challenge even for developing new vaccines, because we don't quite understand exactly how these additional exposures to environmental mycobacteria may affect new vaccination strategies, especially if vaccines are targeting older populations like adolescents and adults. We do believe that new vaccination strategies should be targeting adolescents and adults because those individuals are the ones who transmit the disease. They transmit the bacterium to new people. And so that's really where a vaccine will give us most bang for our buck. If we only vaccinate infants, then even if we can have a very sustainable effect that decreases the risk of TB over many, many years, if we start such a vaccination strategy today, it would probably take 15 to 20 or even 30 years before we've made a major impact on transmission, which clearly is something that we can't afford at this point. There are many other challenges in effective development of new TB vaccines. I think one of the most important ones is that we actually don't quite understand what kind of immune response we need to protect ourselves against TB. Many, many studies are aimed at investigating this, and we understand more all the time, but it's clear that we don't quite know exactly what kind of immune response we need to induce. And we believe that the reason for this poor understanding is simply that it's an incredibly balanced relationship between the pathogen and the host. We've co-evolved, perhaps for the last 70,000 years, and I think both the bacterium and the human have really adapted to survive in the face of the other, and for that reason, I think it's a very finely tuned balance where the immune system of the human often is the winner, but cannot eradicate the pathogen from the body, despite remaining healthy for decades, and so there's always a low risk of a TB disease developing in people who are so-called latently infected. We understand risk factors that elevate the risk of developing TB, but we don't quite understand how to manipulate the immune response to reduce that risk or even to sterilize humans so that we can get rid of the pathogen, the bug, and reduce that risk. There are many products or vaccine candidates that are in development. There are currently 14 candidates that are in clinical trials in humans. Some of them are in efficacy trials. There are in fact three that are in efficacy trials. Actually four vaccines are in efficacy trials. And some of those will actually yield results this year, and we hope that we can see some efficacy from these trials so that we can start to investigate mechanisms of protection. But in the meantime, there are new candidates that are moving forward in the development pipeline. Some of these have really good ideas that have led to rational development of these vaccines. But in the long run, it's really difficult to predict which will work and which won't. And that's because the animal models that we have at our disposal to do the early testing before we move into humans are generally poorly predictive of what happens in humans. And so it's a really exciting field. There's a lot happening. And we'll explore many of these aspects on the course.